You know, I know, like Pastor Patrick has said, I sense God is really doing some wonderful things. He's doing something that, you know, even in my own self, I don't fully understand. But I know that there's this drawing of God. God is taking us as a people. I believe he's preparing us and getting us ready for something so much greater than we can really fathom or understand. You know, God made us, and he made us perfect. Scriptures say that we are fearfully and wonderfully made, which means that we are perfect in God's eyesight. But our finite minds, we can't understand the things of God with our natural mind. And sometimes we do. And on that note, there's a passage of scripture that I read. It was in Mark chapter 9. And if you could turn to Mark chapter 9, starting at verse 2. And I'm going to read on because there's a lot of verses of scripture, but I think it's important that we read it. It says this, "And after 6 days, Jesus taketh with him Peter and James and John and leadeth them up into a high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his raiment, his clothes became shining, exceeding white as snow, so as no fuller on earth can white them. And there appeared unto them Elias with Moses, and they were talking with Jesus. And Peter answered and said to Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here. And let us make three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias. For he wist not what to say. For they were sore afraid." And I'm going to stop there. We'll talk about the rest of the passage. And God began to bring something to my attention. The Bible says that Jesus had taken Peter, James, and John. He took them on this high mountain. But he took them apart. He took them to a place apart from everybody else. He was drawing them closer to himself, and he wanted to reveal, give them a greater revelation of who he was. And so he takes these men, these three men, and he takes them on this mountain, and all of a sudden the scripture says that he transfigured, he transformed before them. And this word transform, it means to change. But it's not a change that we look at on the outward change. It's a change that comes from within. And then it takes place on the outside. Now, these men were in this place. They was getting this great revelation from God. And some of us are in that place. Some of us in our time of reading, some of us in our times of prayer, even this past few days of fasting, we were pressed in with God. And we began to get a greater revelation of who he is, a greater understanding of who God is and what God desires to do in our life. And what happens with these three men, the scripture said that Peter began to run his mouth. And it began to say right after that, he did it because he didn't know what to do, because he was afraid. And oftentimes, what begins to happen with us is this. We find ourselves in a circumstance or a situation, and immediately there's a fear that tries to come upon us. And in this fear, we don't know what to do. We don't know what to do. And so what do? We try to figure this thing out. We try to come up with a remedy. We try to come up with an escape route. And oftentimes we end up doing something foolish when we do that. Now, the one thing God was speaking to me when I read this is that if we are men and women of God, that we're living for God as honest as we know how, that there is a leading of the Holy Ghost in our lives. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness. Now, just like Jesus, he led these men to this high place. And oftentimes we get into this place, we get into the presence of God, and we really don't want to leave. It's this sense of awe, this sense of awesomeness. And we just want to just camp out right there. Some of you know what I'm talking about. While the worship was going on, you began to enter in. And the next thing you know, you was at the holies of holies, and nothing else mattered to you. Nothing else. None of your problems, none of your situations, none of your circumstances matter to you anymore. And that's where Peter and them found themselves. And God began to say this. He began to share to me. He said, "David, when we make those mistakes and we try to fight our way out," he told Peter this. He said, the voice came out and it says, "This is my beloved son. Said, hear him." And as I began to read that, God began to speak to my heart that it's natural for us to respond, you know, naturally. We panic. The fear comes upon us and we escape. But then God says that we're not to pay attention to these things with the natural eye, but we are to trust and believe the word of God. See, the word of God is all authority. It is the authority, the word of God. Pastor Patrick just spoke about it just now. He said everything on this earth, you, me, these chairs, the carpet, everything will pass away. He says, but my name will stand forever. And I believe that God has gathered us all here tonight because he's given us a direction. There's not one person in here who hasn't been faced with some sort of a calamity where the immediate action is to panic because you don't know what to do. And an example is the loss of a loved one. It happens suddenly. There's something that begins to rise up. We don't know what to do. We don't know how to handle it. And so we begin to act out. How about the loss of a job? Or even you haven't been able to pay your rent, so there's an eviction notice. And there's this automatic thing that wants us to panic. It wants us to fear. But God is saying, no. We look at the word of God. We take the word of God for what it is. We believe the word of God because it is the ultimate authority. And I know that I'm talking loud, and I'm sorry. I get this problem with loud talking when I get passionate. Sometimes it's good. Praise God. Now, I do believe that there is a leading of the Holy Ghost. And just to be led by the Holy Ghost doesn't mean that everything is going to feel comfortable. And I say that because I talk to a lot of young people, and we have this idea, this misconception, that if God is in it, it's just going to be sweet. It's just going to be easy. If it's easy, it's God. And if it's not easy, then it's the devil. And we end up giving the devil some credit that he don't got nothing to do with. He has absolutely nothing to do with the hard time you might find yourself in. And I'm saying that because these three men, Peter, James, and John, even though they wanted to stay in the presence of God, Jesus said, nah, we can't do that. We got something else to take care of. And so they go down this mountain, the Bible says. And they walk down and they see this crowd of people all around the other nine disciples. And they're going, what in the world is going on? So they get over there and it's this young man standing in the middle of the circle. But this young man has a problem. This young man is being controlled by a demonic spirit and is causing him to act out in so many ways that nobody knows how to deal with this. The father himself don't know how to deal with this young man. So what he does is he brings this young man to the disciples with the hopes that they can cast out this demonic spirit. And so the disciples gather around this young man. And mind you, these disciples were the same disciples that Jesus sent out, and he gave them authority to cast out demons and all this stuff. So they were accustomed to that. This wasn't something brand new to them. And so this young man is standing before them, and they begin to pray. Nothing happens. And they begin to pray, and nothing happens. And so everybody's standing around this circle confused. What in the world is going on? And so Jesus come down, and he began to speak to them. He says, "You faithless generation." And that was deep when I heard that word. When I read that, it was almost like a dagger. But it was one of those good daggers. It was like going to the doctor and a surgeon. You know, when he cuts you, it don't feel good. You under the anesthesia, you all ripped up and all that. You probably got bandages on you. And it never feels good, but it's for the good. It's for your good that this takes place. And when he said, "You faithless generation," I took it personal. Because I know that there are times when, you know, times prior, I've seen God do miracle after miracle. I mean, my life itself is a miracle. I mean, all of us, everybody that sits in here, it's a miracle. You listen to the testimonies that we hear up here. It's miracle after miracle. And we see these things, and then God will place a circumstance or a situation in my face, and then what happens? I begin to come to God, and I don't see an immediate change. I don't see my loved ones immediately running to God. I don't see that man on the street running to God. I don't see that homeless man changing. The people in my community, I don't see nothing happening. But Jesus came down, and he did something. He began to speak to that demonic spirit in that young man. And he began to cast that thing out. But the Bible says that something happened to that young man. Even as Jesus began to speak to that spirit and he cast this thing out of him, the Bible says that this young man fell to the ground. And when he fell to the ground, it says that it was as if he was dead. And some of us are like that tonight. Some of us are in that place that when people look at us, that's what they see. That's what they think. They think that we are dead. They think that because we say that we are Christians, they think because we walk around with our Bible, they think that when we say these things about God and they don't see the immediate change, sometimes that's what they think. They think that we are dead. But I'm going to tell you something. You see, I love the Lord Jesus. You see, the Bible says that Jesus, when this young man was laying down and everybody thought that he was dead, the Bible says that Jesus put out his hand and he grabbed that young man by his hand and he picked him up. You see, I'm going to tell you this. I don't care what your circumstance or your situation looked down, but when Jesus get invited in the picture, I'm going to tell you what he's going to do. He's going to grab you by the hand. And he's going to pick you up. And he's going to walk you through that. Let's give God some praise. Now, the most exciting thing, what I really love about this passage, is it was this the last portion. It said that the disciples, when they were leaving with Jesus, it said that when they got alone by themselves, they asked Christ, they said, "What's good, man? Like, we didn't want to say nothing outside in front of everybody, but why couldn't we cast out that spirit? Like, why couldn't we do it? We did this before. We believe you. We walk with you. We're with you everywhere. We're seeing you do miracles. We're watching you do these things. But why couldn't we cast out this spirit? Why this one?" And Jesus began to speak something so profound. And I believe that this message is for every young person that's in this house tonight. Every young person, we believe that God is here. Earlier while we was in the back, Pastor Patrick said this, that everywhere we go, God is with us. He's not out there. He's not, you know, in those doors. God is in here. God is right before you. And here's what God speaks to you tonight. God told those men, he said that the only way that this kind can come forth is by fasting and prayer. Now listen, I want us to understand that. See, he didn't mean like this fasting, like we just had this 3-day fast and then we get on board. And praise God for that. I'm not downgrading this at all. Bless God for everybody who sacrificed, everybody who played a role, everybody who gave of themselves to God. But I'm saying, I'm not talking about that periodic time of fasting. Those 3 days that we fast and we find ourselves in prayer, we in the word of God. You know, we sense in the presence of God and God is speaking to us. Praise God for those times. But God began to speak to these gentlemen and he says, that's not going to be enough. He says, the scripture said that this kind of fasting and prayer is a lifestyle of fasting and prayer. And I don't want to sit up here and sound like, you know, thou art. I fast 7 days a week. No, I ain't gonna front on you. I love burgers. I just talked to you about some ribs. Where you at, baby? She know. Listen, but I'm talking about a lifetime. I'm talking about us being that people that, again, I got to use this, Pastor Patrick. He said that it's like letting go of all those things that holds us to the earth with one hand. And with the other hand, grabbing a hold of everything that God is. We're talking about those kind of times. We're talking about a lifestyle like that. You see, this word, it says, he said, this kind comes out only but by prayer and fasting. And he didn't mean this kind of demonic spirit. What are we going to do? Stop and say, what kind of spirit is this? Try to figure this out? No. He was saying this, something more serious than we can think. This generation, that's what that word kind means. This generation can only come forth by people who live a lifestyle of prayer and fasting. That means my sons, my daughters. That means those people in my community, the people that I work with. That means your friends, your family members, your grandparents, your aunts, your uncles, your moms, your pops, your brothers, your sisters. That's what God is talking about. You see, we pray. All of us have unsaved loved ones. And we're praying for them. We want them to get saved. But God is saying it's going to take a lifestyle of us sacrificing to God. And not out of religion.
Not like, you know, I'm not going to eat today because, no.
A sincere heart to give to God. A sincere heart to sacrifice unto our God. And the scripture says this, that God, knowing everything that we need, he gives exceeding abundantly above all we can ask or think. Some of you are asking God for some stuff. I know it. I see some people out here, and I know you're praying for your parents. I know you're praying for your loved ones. And God wants to give us this generation. This time of fasting and prayer, I don't know about you. You know, some people had an awesome time. I had an awesome time with God because he began to speak some things to me and was showing me some stuff. But it was so much warfare. It was such a battle for my time. I mean, like never before, I felt myself so tangled, so pulled upon. And some of you are in that same place. And God is drawing us. God is calling you. And I believe that God is saying, I want you to just hear. Forget what we see in the natural. Forget these things. But hear him. Hear Jesus. The words of God is everything that we will ever need. He will provide that. God will make place for everything. But we are to hear the word of God. Now, this wasn't one of those jump up and down, you know, clap your hands, hallelujah messages. But I really believe that God is speaking to some. God is speaking to some hearts. And here's what we want to do tonight. I shared it before. When God speaks, it's not so we can just feel good. It's not so we can say, oh, man, that dude is right. But it's that God is inviting us to join him in what he's doing. God wants to take this generation, and he wants to use you. Every last one of you in here, God has been equipping you. God is preparing you, and he wants you to take this nation. But tonight, I want to ask that every head be bowed and every eye closed. Just bow your head, eye closed. Nobody's going to take your money or nothing. Now, I want you to ask God. God, could you want to use me? Could you want to use me to reach and to win my parents and my siblings and my loved ones and those in my community? Could you want to use me? Now, while every head is bowed and every hand is down, there is some people in here who you really don't understand the things of God. You don't understand what this stuff means. But you know that God wants you. You know that your life was meant for much more than what's happening. You know, some people are looking at you and you are that person that they're saying is dead. Because you're being thrown around. And you're tired of it. And tonight, what you want to do is you want to be on God's side. You want to surrender, just like that song that I sung. You want to surrender to God. And you want God to make you one of those that he's going to use to win this generation. You want to give your life to Jesus Christ. And I'm just going to ask with all boldness, that person with your eyes closed and head down, just to put your hand in the air. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. And you can put your hands down now. Keep your heads bowed. Now, there are some people also that, just like I said, you know that God is requiring a lifestyle of prayer and fasting. And you want in. You know that it's going to take some strength. You know that it's going to take some doing by God. Every time you go to fast, you find yourself, you know, feeling not strengthened enough. Your time of prayer has been kind of weak and slack. But you want in. I'm going to ask that person tonight, in all boldness, raise your hands. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And I'm just going to ask this. We're going to all stand now. Everybody stand. You can put your hand down, young brother. But I'm going to ask every person that had your hand up tonight, because God's seen it. I want you to come up here at this altar, and we're going to pray. We're going to believe God to do some great and some mighty things, some awesome things in your life. And I'm going to tell you tonight, if God has spoken to you, don't hesitate. Don't let the person next to you, don't let your thoughts, don't let those things hold you back. Because as I said before, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. God knows you. And God has chosen you before the very foundations of the world. Even when you were in your mother's womb, God knew you. And so we want to give all those that opportunity. We don't want to miss out. Now we're going to have a time of worship. And during this time of worship, we're going to leave the altar open. You can still come. God is calling you. You can still come. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Lord said that He loves you. He loves you with an everlasting love. It's no greater love than that. Some of us came here tonight for different reasons. We responded to the altar call for different reasons. But that feeling inside, that thing, that was God. And He's drawing you. And I'm going to tell you, just like the song, surrender. You surrender and you watch what God does. Watch it. God will turn your whole world upside down. You let Him do it, young people. Those people who raised your hand with boldness and you wanted in on this Jesus thing. You wanted to surrender your life to Jesus tonight and you raised your hand. I want to ask that you be bold and raise it again. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to your name, God. Glory, 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 glory. God is excited. Now with that person, what I want you to do, see, it's important that God hears your voice. God wants to hear your voice because you matter to God. You are important to God. And because He has chosen you, He wants to hear your voice. And so what I'm going to do is I'm just going to lead you in a prayer. And I'm going to ask that you repeat after me. But only those who are, for the first time you're giving your life to Christ. And then I'm going to ask that everybody else repeat just to accompany our brothers and sisters. Lord Jesus, tonight, I surrender all to you. Oh God, I am so glad that I was introduced to you tonight. I understand and I believe that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, died on the cross for all of my wrongdoings. Oh God, I am sorry. I admit that I am a sinner. But I come tonight to give you all of my sin and ask for your forgiveness. And I thank you, Lord, that because I asked, you have granted and you have wiped away everything that was unclean in my life. You wiped it away. You don't even remember it anymore. And I thank you. And I ask that I would be able to walk in relationship with you. Will you speak to me? I speak to you. You hear me? and I hear you. God, give me the heart to obey. And help me, Lord, to walk with you. I thank you that you are now the King of my life and the Lord of everything. And I thank you for being my God. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Don't lose this moment. Don't lose the moment. God has really chosen you. You can believe that tonight. God has chosen you, and he knows everything about you. But he has chosen you. I'm just going to pray for you. Father, thank you for your Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost, we thank you for coming in this place tonight, for speaking to us. It was you that was here. It was you that led us and guided us into all truth. And we thank you for your manifest presence tonight. Now, God, I pray for my young brothers and sisters. God, I pray, God, that the decision that they made tonight, God, that you would seal it with the Holy Ghost. God, that you would keep them. God, that you would protect them from every hurt, harm, or danger, every evil. And God, I pray for this relationship of prayer and fasting. God, that you would intimately draw them, God. God, and they would sense your presence. And God, and that they would be able to obey you, God. God, that you would give them the time to spend with you, God. And I pray, God, that they would take this time above all else. And I ask, God, that you would cover them. God, that you would raise them up to be mighty men and women of God. God, that you would turn their circles upside down, Lord. Tonight we believe you, God, by faith. And we're asking, God, that you would quicken our faith. Give us a greater measure of faith to believe you. God, you said it, and we believe it, and that's that. And so we thank you tonight. Keep my young brothers and sisters in Jesus' name. Amen.